This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show for a week, man. A week. Be back here on the 27th. We are off. Me, Jewish producer Chris, producer Michael, the fam. We are off to go hang with the fans in Israel and tour the Holy Land. Talk about how Chris's people killed Jesus and everything else. Chris just asked as we were coming back from break, does Ambien knock you out on a plane? Let's have a talk. Now, I need you to hear me here, Chris, because I know you've never left the state of Texas before. Ambien. It's a powerful sleep medication for those who are wondering. I have only had a little bit of experience with this one time. And, well, here's how it went. Ambien, yes, it will cause you to fall asleep. Remember, all things that help you sleep are addictive, though. All things that help you sleep are addictive. Now, hear me out. Just hear me out, Chris. Yes, it will help you sleep. But if something happens, maybe you can't get comfortable. I don't know what kind of a sleeper you are. And since I don't drink Bud Light, I'm never going to find out what kind of a sleeper you are. But maybe you're the type of person who's not going to be able to sleep even on some kind of a sleeping thing. If you can't fall asleep on Ambien, you are going to hallucinate. And as somebody who has not done very much traveling, you're going to be on, what's your first flight? Like 14 hours? I would recommend not taking the chance on tripping out of your mind mid-flight. Yes, no, Chris, this is not a sell. I'm not selling you. What? I'm talking you out of it. No. Get something natural. Remember, natural anyway. Get something natural. They have all kinds of, you know, hippie crap out there now, like melatonin. They have not weed, Chris. They have CBD gummies, the CBD things. I love CBD stuff. CBD painkillers. What, Michael? What? It's not weed. CBD is not weed. No, I'm not talking about the stuff that gets you messed up and high. I'm talking about just this. It's not a gateway, Michael, okay? Get something natural, Chris. Natural. You know what? We need to find somebody for CBD. Somebody who shares our values. I know there's a bunch of CBD companies out there now. Not the drugs. The stuff like the sleep stuff and things like that. We need to find somebody for that. Chris, find us someone. Find us someone who doesn't suck. Anyway, Mighty Oracle. At a Bible study this past week, our pastor brought up the personality-challenged sports figure Megan Rapinoe to illustrate some principle I immediately forgot. However, as a Jesse Kelly listener, I had to chime in. Women's soccer is boring. Nobody watches it. So how did she ram through that equal pay nonsense? Uncomfortable laughter at the table, but most agreed. One man gave me a thumbs up. Here's my question. That man is a widower. Nice guy. We obviously feel the same way about women's soccer. Should I set my cap for him? I clean up pretty good for an old dame. If he never asked to eat my cooking, we might have a shot. What say you, matchmaker Jesse? Keep up the great work. I have been told that I am not to say her name in case he's a listener as well. Oh, you go swing for the fences, girl. Go get him. World famous author. My question is, in your military past or current celebrity life, what is the best / worst spider story you have? Okay. I actually do have a couple. None that I think are that great, but I have a couple. One, it was God saving me from a really bad bite. And you're going to think I'm lying about this. I want you to listen and listen because this happened. This happened in Tucson, Arizona. I remember how I've told you before how I was starting to get into grilling and trying to learn how to make better cheeseburgers and things like that. And I told you I went out and bought a grill. Well, we have Black Widow spiders in Tucson. They're all over the place. Everyone knows what a Black Widow is. It was nighttime and we had moved into our house. We'd gotten married, moved into our house. And I was going out to make dinner. I'd gotten home from work. I was going to grill up steaks and she was making something in the kitchen, pasta or something like that. Now, I never, ever, ever had even one time turned on the grill light. It had a button you could press that would allow you to see, obviously, the grill at nighttime. It's kind of one of those interior lights for the grill. I had never touched this button. Never. Even at night, why would I bother touching the button? I could see the grill, kind of. It's dark, but I don't. What do I need to see? I just need to cook on it. The grill had one of those extra grates on top of it that sat in the back. And depending on what I was making, one of those thin grates in the back, depending on what I was making, I would want it out. I would take it out so I had more room to work everything. Look, when a master chef is over the pit, he's got work to do, Chris. Anyway, this night, I don't want the grate on there. I open up the dark grill, barehanded. I am reaching in to grab the rack, and I stopped. I just stopped, and I pulled my hand back, and I've grilled at night a million times, and I reached down, and boop, and I pressed the grill light button. And that was the night a huge Black Widow had made a web and was suspended in the middle of my grill. I was about to get a Black Widow bite on my hand or arm or wrist that was going to hurt. Now, I know that wouldn't have killed me, but that would not have felt good, and that would have been a trip to the ER. So that's one spider story. The other one is, and I want you to look this up. It's safe to look this up at home, kids. You know, it's creepy. Look up a camel spider. Camel spider. When we were in Iraq, they had camel spiders, huge ones. They have these kind of like a double jaw. It looks like almost like Predator. They're horrifying. And we used to go catch them and we'd put them in little bowls and pits. And we'd have, oh yeah, Chris, they're huge. And we'd have these camel spider fights. And they were all over the place in Iraq. So we saw some camel spiders. And then other than that, I don't really think I have many for spiders. I will tell you, I'm not a huge spider fan. It's not some phobia. If one came in here right now, I would just go stomp on it or something like that. It's not like I'm like, oh my gosh, a spider, but I don't love them. Snakes don't bother me at all. Spiders, I find to be creepy. I don't like them. When we were doing our final exercise in Thailand and we were going through this triple canopy jungle and sleeping in there at night, man, we saw some of the webs that are 5-6 feet in diameter with some spider. You know, I'm 6'8", so my hands are huge. A spider easily as big as my hand plastered in the middle of that thing. And you're humping through the jungle and you're looking over at this thing thinking, how many nights are we going to be spending in here? I'm not sure about all this. Jesse, I know how much you love Red Lobster and their Cheddar Bay biscuits, but I never heard you say much about Whataburger, their menu, or their jalapeno cheddar biscuits when they have them. What say you? Here's what I say. I was in the Marines. When I was in the Marines, remember, I joined from Montana. I'd never spent any time in Texas. But a bunch of Texans were in the Marines. It's just Texas is a very patriotic state. There's always a bunch of Texans in the Marines. And, of course, Texans love to talk about how Texas, like, it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. And we used to make fun of them for it all the time. And then I ended up moving here because the place is so terrific. But they would all talk about Whataburger. Whataburger this. Whataburger that. You got to have Whataburger. Whataburger's the best. When I finally started coming to Texas for construction, when I got out of the Marines, I started eating at Whataburger. And I will admit, it is really, really, really good. Really, really, really good. However, I don't know when this happened. Chris will probably know because he's a Whataburger nerd. They got bought out by some big corporation. 2018 is when it happened? Okay, well, that makes perfect sense. They got bought out by some big corporation. and it's still okay. It's not, and I sound like such an old man when I say this, it's not even close to what it used to be. In fact, very recently, I've had a few meals that flat out sucked at Whataburger. Really, really, really bad. This happened to this great little diner that's close by my house, too. It was this wonderful little diner, family-owned, little Christian place. You walk in, there's Bible verses on the wall. It's all family stuff. It's all just wonderful environment. And they just served the most dynamite food in the world. They had this fresh pan sausage. I love a good pan sausage. It was so good. Fresh pan sausage, everything fresh, handmade, all that kind of scratch-made stuff. And the place always had a line. So, of course, one of these big corporations comes in, offers the owners a big boatload of money to sell. They sell the control of it. They start franchising these things now. And it's still okay. A noticeable drop-off. It was a Chicago company that bought Whataburger, Chris. Yeah, of course. Look, if you go eat at a Whataburger now, it's still going to be okay, above average. I know I sound like Grandpa Jesse. It's not the Whataburger I used to eat. It's just not. That sucks. Things change. Corporate America can ruin things. They can help things. They can ruin things. For instance, if you have, let's say, AT&T is your mobile service, AT&T takes all that money you pay them every month for your cell phone, and they use that money to trash your country. If you don't believe me, I'd like to invite you to go do a quick internet search for AT&T in Pride Month. Let me know what you come up with. Let me know if you're happy with the commercials you bought, because they take your money and they make those commercials. I can do the same thing with, let me see, Pure Talk and Pride Month. And wow, look at that. No results. How about that? Save money. Same great 5G network. Switch to a patriotic company that loves this country, man. Pure Talk. It takes 10 minutes on the phone. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. 10 minutes on the phone. #250, say Jesse Kelly. Switch to Pure Talk.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
And I think the first part of this issue that should be articulated is AI is kind of a fancy thing. It's, first of all, it's two letters. It means artificial intelligence. But ultimately what it is it's about machine learning. And so the machine is taught. And part of the issue here is what information is going into the machine that will then determine, and we can predict then, if we think about what information is going in, what then will be produced in terms of decisions and opinions that may be made through that process.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is high-level thinking right there. Let's rely on the experts. All right. Back to Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can email me, even when I'm gone, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Hi, tall one. I have a beautiful 2-year-old granddaughter. My son and his wife are not wanting to put her in public schools and are considering homeschooling. But aside from that, we're also worried about raising a young lady in today's society. And sometimes we consider moving to another country where family values are cherished and enforced by everyone. If you had your choice, what country would you move to? We were thinking Italy. Well, one, I need to stress this because we talk about local so much on the show that those are the battles we can win. Those are the battles we should win. We stress about this presidential candidate and this presidential thing when what we need is our communities. What determined your standard of living during all the COVID insanity was the specific location you lived. And I know this as somebody who had to travel a lot during COVID to meet with suits and stuff like that. I would go to New York City. The streets were empty. I had to wear a mask everywhere. You even had to wear it outside or they'd be shouting at you in New York City. God forbid you walked into a little bodega or something like that and your mask fell below your nose. People would just be all over you in New York City. Can't do any, it's horrible. In my neighborhood, we never saw a mask. We were having gigantic neighborhood parties, huge ones, in 2020, not 2021, a year later, right at the supposed height of the pandemic. We're having big crawfish boils and everybody partying and living it up and living normal lives. Was there masking here? Oh, of course there was. It was a fraction of what it was in other places. I said that to you to say this. I have lived all over this country, many, many different places. I've traveled to so many different places. There are drastically different cultures in the different places of the country and specific places. I'll tell you this. Houston's culture is different than Dallas's culture. Both Texas cities, very, very different cities. Either one of those cities, the culture in the city would look way different than it would look 30 minutes outside of the city. When you get into some family community, that looks different than it does in New York City versus upstate New York. California, LA doesn't look anything like Bakersfield in many, many different for many different ways. Oregon, go to Portland. You seeing a lot of your values there? No, you're not. Head east about 50 miles, you're going to be around the most hardcore anti-communist people in the country. You can move to another country, and I'll answer your question about what other country here in a moment. You can move to another country if you want. I would argue you just need a different location in this country. We live where we live here in Texas because of those family values. On Independence Day night, when we're all heading out to go see the official fireworks, it's one gigantic parade of families in my neighborhood. Everybody's got a little lawn chair on their arm, maybe a cooler beside them. Kids all have sparklers running down the middle of the street. On my street, they'll oftentimes block off the whole road. The parents will with cones and just have a huge street party where the kids have the blow-up slides and everyone brings a meal. And man, your values are out there in America. We have so much of America that we can save if we get our eyes off of stupid, disgusting, broken Washington, D.C. and figure out and focus locally, legal and local. That said, if I had to move, here's the hard part about it. Ideally, I would move somewhere in Latin America because I love Latin culture, to be honest with you. I love how family-oriented it is. I know you're going to find this shocking. I love the food. I place a priority on that. I like the music. And we're talking Mexico, Colombia, all these places. I love the people. I've always gotten along. I've always had a whole bunch of friends that are that way. I've always gotten along. Plus, as we all know, I speak the language.
Buenas tardes.
But those countries are so unstable and corrupt. I probably wouldn't go there. If you put a gun to my head, it would probably be Poland or Japan. The Polish are so family focused, they'll pay you to start families over there. Japan, Chris, you can act shocked about that. Japan, I love Japanese people, Japanese food. I know I'm tall, Chris. It's fine. I'll fit in. I'll blend in. You forgot you're dealing with a covert operative. I'll just fade into the crowd. You won't even know I'm there. But the people are wonderful. The food is wonderful. It's a very clean place. Religiously, they're very different than me, but they share the same kind of family values thing. Like, they place a priority on clean streets, low crime. Their traditions are really cool. Japan's underrated. But again, all that said, you don't need to leave America. You don't. There's all kinds of America where you can go to. And yes, homeschool those babies. Now, also get yourself on some chop. You need a male vitality stack or a female vitality stack. Let's talk about the female vitality stack for a moment. Ladies, just like men are under assaults with the estrogens in the waters, the poor women in this country have been, their hormone levels have been shattered by all kinds of different things. You know, a female vitality stack can have you feeling better than you have in decades, maybe ever in your life. I've had 60-some-year-old women email in the show. They say they're so full of energy, they can't take afternoon naps anymore. Female vitality stack, ladies, natural herbal supplements. No more big pharma. No more of that. Let's naturally take care of ourselves. 30, 5% off subscriptions. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stalky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday green giveaway. This is from Breitbart. Biden releasing $20 billion for clean energy products. What is it that communists do when they take power? What two things do they do? Punish their enemies, reward their friends. Democrats do that in this country because they're communists. Republicans take power and they spend all their time apologizing to their enemies for their friends. Oh, I'm sorry about these rubes we have. These crazy people, they care about election integrity. How gross. Dear fellow jury foreman, how are you selected as foreman? I was on the grand jury. The district attorney instructed us to select a foreman, and one lady spoke up and said, well, that guy has a tie on, so he should be the foreman. So they picked me based off my clothing. Was your case based on height or something else? You can say my name. His name is Foreman Scott. Well, the wife likes to make fun of me for this to this day. She'll call me jury foreman. Whenever she calls me jury foreman, what she's doing is making a snotty little remark about the fact that I tend to take control of whatever situation I am in. I don't like it when I'm not in control of it. She says that I just automatically seize control of whatever and act like I'm in charge of it, and then I just move on from there, which I don't think that's fair at all, but that's what she says. And she says that because that's kind of how the jury foreman thing came to be. I got put on this jury when I was in Tucson, and I was young. I bet I was 24 or 25 years old. Maybe 24, 25 years old. I go in. I've always believed it's your civic duty to sit down on a jury. I answered all the questions straight up. I wasn't even really political then, so I didn't even have any bumper stickers on the back of my car that would disqualify me. So boom, long and the short of it, I'm on a jury. I lucked out. Like I said, it wasn't some one-day jerkwater DUI trial. It was a heroin bust with multiple defendants and undercover cop videos and all kinds of stuff like that. So I sit there with everyone else. I think it lasted 4 or 5 days, something like that. And at the end, the judge does what apparently they do every time. Okay, you need to go back because there were multiple counts. You need to go back and you need to decide on whether they're guilty or innocent on each account. And that might take a while because you're going to have to debate some things. So the first thing you need to do is select a jury foreman to kind of run the process and then be the one who stands up and announces some things. Or I don't remember if I had to announce it or I just had to turn it into the judge. I think I had to turn it into the judge. Anyway, the jury foreman had to kind of take control of it. Well, at this point in time, I had enjoyed the trial very much, but I was done and ready to go home and go back to work. And it does get a bit boring after a while. We go into this room, and it's this conference room in the courthouse, and there were 12 of us, plus I think there was an alternate sitting around. We were all sitting around the table, and everyone's just kind of milling around. Well, nothing's going to happen until we actually select a jury foreman. We were just told that following simple instructions, you have to do that first, and everyone's milling around. So I got frustrated. It wasn't taking control, wife. It was not trying to take control. I was frustrated with the pace of how things were moving. So I started gathering everybody up. Hey, we got to vote on jury foreman. Let's start voting. In fact, and I remember I was squaring everybody away. Everybody reach out and tear off a little piece of paper. And what we're going to do is we're going to vote for jury foreman. Turn in your piece of paper. We'll get the foreman thing done. And that's when this dude, this old black dude pipes up and he says, well, why don't we just make you the foreman? You're already the foreman. And everyone just looked around and said, yeah, you be the foreman. And then I didn't fight him on it. I said, okay, is that what you want? And everyone said, yeah. I said, okay, good to go. Now let's get our stuff squared away here. And let me tell you, we were in and out of that room in an hour. There were some charges and some things to debate. I had the pace moving, Chris. You got to keep, what, Chris? I was polite about it, but direct. But direct. Some people may call that rude, but whatever. Fish killer, designer dogster. On Saturday, I married my dime after 16 years or after 6 years of dating. What is your piece of advice you give to a new couple just starting out? Says I can say his name. His name is Casey. Casey, congratulations to you and your dime. I don't know that I'm qualified to give anybody advice on anything like that ever, but here's the best piece of advice the wife and I have ever gotten. And it's one that is ignored by almost everybody. We were going to a church, Calvary Chapel in Tucson, before we got married. And they required you, if they were going to marry you there, they required you to do pre-marriage counseling before they would marry you, which was just three or four times you had to go sit down with the pastor and he would talk to you, and his wife usually, and they talked to you about some things. But they told us something. They said, don't ever, under any circumstances, put your spouse in bad light to other people. And here's what that means. It's his instinct. It's what human beings do. If you're married and you're a dude, and let's say your wife's been nagging at you or blew a bunch of money or did whatever. Who knows what she did? You know what you want to do? You want to take off on Saturday and go golf with your buddies, and you want to tell them, oh, man, I can't even believe what Aubrey did. Freaking spending all of her money, and you're not going to believe how she nags at me all the time. Okay, I just put my wife in bad light to people outside of our marriage, to our friends. You don't do that to your father. You don't call your brother. You don't call your best friend. If you got a problem, you work it out with only them. And women do this too, and women do this even more. It's human nature. It's instinct. What happens when he ticks you off? I'm calling my sister. I'm calling my mom. Mom, you were right about him. He's a turd. I'm calling my best friend. And even though you guys will make up, because that's what will happen. You'll make up. Now, your mom thinks less of him already. Your boys think. And not only that, because they think less of him, they'll slowly, even if they don't mean to, start chipping away at it. Because he needs to divorce that witch. She's already nagging at him. Your fights are only for you. Have big ones. Knock down drag outs. Go ahead. Scream it out. Nothing wrong with it. Only for you. Nobody else. All right? Everything stays in-house at all times. This is a nice one. Dude, you beeping sound gay. Nasally, coke, snorting, dumb, and I can't even say the last two cuss words he put in there. So, obviously a fan. So, shout out to you, communist. I'm glad to hear you are enjoying the show. Jesse, I know everyone thinks Gavin Newsom is next in line for Democrat presidential candidates, but I posit that Josh Shapiro is more dangerous if Biden drops out. He's popular, so on and so forth. What's your opinion of this prediction? It's not a bad prediction, but here's why it's not going to be Josh Shapiro or Michelle Obama or things like that. You know how I said earlier that it's still early? It's July 2023, so you don't need to stress if your primary candidate is losing and you don't need to celebrate if he's winning. It's really early. It's not that early. Meaning you have to have by now, you have to have an operation set up. To run for president involves more ins and outs and operations than you can possibly imagine. I ran for Congress once in a little district in down by Tucson. I needed two different field offices. That's for one congressional seat. Now, wrap your mind around what you need for president. How many different offices and staff members do you need in every state from Iowa to Washington to Florida to New York? How many different people have to work for it? It takes a long time to set up an operation that is ready for a presidential run. One of the big advantages Trump already has is he already has so much of that in place because he just ran for president twice. So you've got some things that are already built in. Michelle Obama doesn't have any of that. She hasn't built that network. Josh Shapiro, as capable as he may be, he doesn't have any of that. He hasn't set that up. Part of the reason I've been telling you it's going to be Newsom is Newsom has been setting that up. Now, he hasn't been selling it as running for president. You know, it's always a nonprofit or a campaign initiative. No, no, I'm Gavin Newsom. I'm just down here in Florida just because I love the beaches. No, he's been setting up an operation, hiring people, many, many people for a while. The operation has to be in place. It's not just about the candidates themselves. All right? All right. Go get yourself a better pillow. You spend a third of your life in bed. One third of your life in bed. You never shortchange yourself on your bedding. Your pillow should be a MyPillow. Not even because I love Mike Lindell. Not because I love MyPillow, the company. That's a nice side benefit. These are the pillows. One, they last. Two, they're so unbelievably comfortable. I don't know how they get that kind of comfort and support in there at the same time. My wife can't turn her head half the time if her neck gets messed up because of gymnastics. She never has neck problems anymore since we started only using my pillows. You know how much she loves hers? She travels with one. She bought a travel one. She won't sleep a night without it. These things are miracles, and right now they're $19.98 because it's MyPillow's 20th anniversary. They're normally $69.98. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special square, and use the promo code Jesse. Or call them, 800-845-0544. One more segment, then we're gone. Hang on.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and I want you to know when I return from my trip through the Holy Land, I expect to have an email inbox full of you longing for me, and what, Chris, and telling me how much you love me, how much you've missed the Frito Bandito.
Ay, 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 I am the Frito Bandito, hey, I like Fritos corn chips, I love them, I do, I want Fritos corn chips, I'll get them from you. Ay, 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 oh, I am the Frito Bandito. Give me Fritos corn chips and I'll be your friend. The Frito Bandito, you must not offend. Munch, munch, munch a bunch of Fritos.
Oh, I'm going to miss you too. You can email me while I'm gone, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, before we dig into the emails I didn't get to, let's get ready to sign off for a week by doing something awesome. Let's save a life. Let's save a baby's life. Young women are lied to these days, manipulated. Sometimes they feel forced when they get pregnant to kill that baby. Preborn comes alongside these women and says, hey, I know you're scared. I know you're hurting. How about a free ultrasound? When a woman hears the heartbeat, it's from God, man. I'm telling you, it's boom. She turns into a mom almost every time they choose life. Did you know that? When you give that $28, you're buying that ultrasound. Let's save a life. Going into vacation, let's save a life. Preborn.com/Jesse. Give it in somebody's name. Mom's name, son, brother, husband. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. All right? All right.
And now,
here's a headline.
By go, you know the thing.
Emails
we didn't get to.
Dear Trilingual Glamper, would you rather go downrange in hostile territory for one operation with only Lindsey Graham guarding your six, or spend 1 year in Washington, D.C. as Cori Bush's faithful press secretary and full-time security guard? Well, Cori Bush, that would be a cake gig. Cori Bush doesn't need a security guard because the dangerous people are all on Cori Bush's side. She's a communist. All the street communists are the violent people in the country. I wouldn't have to protect her from anything. That's one. Two, if I went downrange with only Lindsey Graham watching my back, I would die. I can tough out a year in Cori Bush's office. Do you have any idea how much fun I would have sabotaging everything she was doing? Playing these horrible, immature, practical jokes on people, or just being generally annoying? You know what I used to do in the construction world? Well, when I moved into the office, you know what I used to do? Our poor secretary, she was this, you know, this nice older lady, and I just thought it was hilarious. Whenever we would get a fax, you know, yeah, we still had fax machines back then. Whenever we get a fax and I'd pick it up and it was for her, if she was in the bathroom, instead of taking it to her desk, I'd go slide it under the bathroom door. And you just hear her in there. She's this old lady just dying laughing. She's just dying laughing. Jesse, I know that's you. And I would just sneak off and would never say anything. And then she'd come see me after and she's, I know you did that. What? What you did what? I have no idea. It must have been someone else. I don't know. I don't know who would do such a thing. Dear Stonecutter Jesse, what's the biggest animal or creature you think you can beat in hand-to-hand combat? Cheetah. I could take out a cheetah. People keep telling me I can't. Don't tell me I can't. It's all about weight. Cheetahs weigh like 120 pounds, 130 pounds. I know they have claws. Chris, have you seen these hands, right? Have you seen these hands? These hands will rip a cheetah to bits. And I already have a technique plan for it and everything. I could take out a cheetah. Would I be cut up? I'm not naive. I know he'd get a couple lucky shots in. But no, I could take out a cheetah. No problem. Dear Trilingual Oracle, I live in North Carolina. I want to volunteer to help Mark Robinson campaign for governor. I looked at his website. Most volunteer jobs involve calling or door knocking. However, I'm socially awkward. And while I can recite talking points, I would not fare well if pulled into a debate to the point I would be detrimental. Aside from putting out yard signs or bumper stickers, do you have suggestions? P.S. I enjoyed meeting you in Harrisburg with my wife and 8-month-old son. One, you don't do a bunch of debating when you're knocking on doors. Is there a chance you're going to get yelled at by some crazy commie? Oh, of course. But even if that conversation doesn't go well, if you get in some debate, that's not a person you were really going to win over anyway. If it's somebody screaming at you about Mark Robinson, just turn around and move on. But bumper stickers do matter. Yard signs do matter. Giving your time for things matters. Giving money matters. I don't do a ton of it because I don't like having politicians or political candidates on the show. I don't like to bombard you with that crap or me with that crap all the time. I think it can get really old really fast. But giving money to political campaigns is really, really important. They need your money. One of the things nobody's talking about when it comes to the 2024 primary is who's raising money and how much. That money is not a small thing or something we should scoff at. Oh, more money. It's a really big deal. It's what pays for all those TV commercials, all those online ads, all those staffers they need. Those people aren't all there out of the goodness of their hearts. You got to pay them. Raising money is really important. So give that if you can. Dr. Jesse, yesterday's podcast, you were talking about China training their children with weapons. I'm a big fan of it. My son is 5. What age is the right age to start teaching him about gun safety and self-defense? I was playing with toy guns from my earliest memories, and I would aim them and shoot them at everything, and my parents were fine with that. But once I started, I was probably 7 or 8 years old when I started going hunting with my dad, carrying a toy gun, and then he would be strict with me about where that weapon was pointed and your finger and everything else. And also about that age, I think it was 8, I had to go to hunter safety class. It was an official class that I had to go sit down in, and you had to pass that class all about weapon safety. And then my old man would ride me about it all the time. Remember, weapon safety is forever. It's forever. It's not just for kids. To answer your question, I had my sons, I would allow them to hold real guns. Obviously, weapons I had unloaded and checked and double-checked. I would allow them to hold real guns in my house at 7 or 8 years old. I'm not letting them carrying them around at that age or keep them in their room, but very, very, very early. Your child is ready way, way earlier than you think. Mr. Kelly, like you, I have no feelings and nothing shocks me anymore. But did you see those emails responding to the morning call with the FBI and Bank of America that Jim Jordan was talking about during the questioning of that communist Christopher Wray? Not only do they want to know where you got coffee in D.C., they want to know if you made any past gun purchases. What say you? Here's what I say. Like we've talked about before, and we will always talk about, you must understand the overall goal. The goal right now of the system is to turn opposition to the system into being illegal. They want to make you an enemy of the state, and everything they do is with that goal in mind. If they can just finally make opposition to them illegal, then they can send their government guns against us and put us all in a dark hole. Now, let's not focus on that. Let's focus on me and the fact that I'm going to leave you now, and I won't be back till the 27th. You keep your chin up. You stay together. Communicate with each other. And we will be back to do it all again then, okay? That's all.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.